From DLA Piper, this is the Beyond the Curve podcast. In this episode, DLA Piper's Sarah Andrews and Claire Dantz are joined by colleagues and pro bono project collaborators to reflect on the 20th anniversary of New Perimeter, the firm's nonprofit affiliate that provides long-term pro bono assistance around the world.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claire Dantz, pro bono partner at DLA Piper here in London, and I also co-lead New Perimeter, our nonprofit affiliate.
And I'm Sarah Andrews, co-director of New Perimeter, along with Claire, and senior international pro bono counsel based out of the firm's Boston office.
Today, we're excited to shine a light on New Perimeter, a pro bono initiative that's really important to both of us. I think that the work that New Perimeter does sits right where law, development, and social impact meet. It's not just a pro bono program. It's a long-term commitment to making a real difference in communities around the world.
Exactly. And this year is a big one. It's New Perimeter's 20th anniversary. So we thought, what better time to look back on what we've done, share some stories, and talk about where we're headed next.
We'll kick things off with a bit of background, then dive into two of our long-running projects, one in Mexico that's all about building a culture of pro bono, and another in Africa where we've been helping government lawyers negotiate fairer contracts for their countries. But first, Sarah, you've been with New Perimeter since the early days. Let's rewind a bit. Why did DLA Piper start New Perimeter back in 2005?
Great question. So back in 2005, when DLA Piper was created, it became one of the first truly global law firms. And that opened up a really big opportunity to use the firm's expansive new footprint to tackle major global challenges. And at that time, the firm's leadership, especially our founding director, Sheldon Krantz, wanted to create something that went beyond traditional pro bono. They envisioned a platform that could support the rule of law, access to justice, and social and economic development in a thoughtful and really strategic way.
And it's worth mentioning, New Perimeter is set up as a nonprofit, which gives us the flexibility to work with organizations in places and on issues that might not fit into a typical law firm pro bono model. We've also got an advisory board made up of leading individuals from the legal development and NGO world who provide great advice and perspectives to guide this work.
That's right. So Claire, from your perspective, what makes New Perimeter different from other pro bono programs?
Oh, so many things. First off, when people think of pro bono, they often picture lawyers helping out locally, which is really important and impactful, and something we do a lot within our domestic pro bono practice. New Perimeter, though, takes that idea and scales it globally. We commit to long-term projects in developing and post-conflict countries. We're not about quick fixes. We're about showing up year after year, building relationships, and really embedding legal expertise into communities, like in Zambia, where we've trained over 2,500 lawyers over a decade. That kind of deep engagement lets us understand the local context and adapt our work to what's actually needed.
That's right. And the impact is huge, especially in places where the legal profession is still growing.
Exactly. I remember when I first started working in Zambia, there were more people in our London office than there were lawyers in the whole of Zambia. It's the kind of place where we can really make a difference. We also work hand in hand with NGOs, governments, universities, and multilateral institutions. It's all about collaboration and making sure the support we provide is relevant and sustainable. And because DLA Piper is global, we can always tap into local knowledge and cultural insight.
Right. And we bring in lawyers from all over the world, from all different kinds of legal backgrounds. That kind of diversity of thought and experience is a huge strength.
Absolutely. Plus, we're really intentional about how we choose projects. We have a rigorous selection process and commission independent evaluations to make sure that we're always learning and improving. So, Sarah, let's talk a little bit about impact. What has New Perimeter achieved over the past 20 years?
Well, if you're looking at the numbers, they are substantial. We've had 1,600 DLA Piper lawyers from over 90 offices work on more than 300 projects in over 55 countries. And we've trained over 20,000 law students and lawyers. But as we all know, numbers only tell a small part of the story. We've helped to draft laws, supported emerging legal systems, represented countries in international negotiations, and helped launch global organizations. And New Perimeter impacts not just our clients, but also our lawyers. my entry into New Perimeter when I was an associate was helping Kosovo, which at the time was a newly independent country, draft the laws creating its court system. That was a really incredible experience for a young lawyer. And many of our lawyers come back from these projects saying that they are among the most meaningful work of their legal careers.
Mm, that's so powerful, and it's my favorite piece of feedback.
So, Claire, what is next as we head into New Perimeter's third decade?
Well, I think we're entering a new phase, one that's all about going deeper. We're focusing more on areas like environment, nature, and inclusive development, areas where the law can really help shape fairer outcomes in a complex world. We're also doubling down on legal education, especially in regions where access to training has been limited. That means building stronger ties with universities and bar associations, creating new curricula, and helping young lawyers become leaders in their communities. And of course, we'll keep doing what we've always done, helping to spread a culture of pro bono and using legal skills to support access to justice and the rule of law. But we've also been thinking carefully about how to do that in ways that are more sustainable, locally driven, and truly impactful.
So in a nutshell, the future of New Perimeter is about going deeper, not just wider, building on what we've done to create lasting systemic change, one project, one collaboration, and one country at a time.
Hi, everybody. My name's Claire Donce, and today I'm speaking with Maru Cortazar and Lisa Dewey about one of New Perimeter's longest-running projects. This is a project in which Mexico Appleseed and DLA Piper have been working together to expand access to justice through pro bono in Mexico. Maru, it's wonderful to have you with us today. Could you please introduce yourself briefly for our listeners?
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Maru Cortazar, and I am the Executive Director of Appleseed Mexico.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And Lisa, it's always a pleasure. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself too?
Yes, thank you, Claire. It's wonderful to be here with you and Maru for this conversation. I'm Lisa Dewey, and I serve as the pro bono partner for DLA Piper in the United States. I'm based in our Washington, D.C. office, and I also had the privilege of serving as the director of New Perimeter for 10 years, from 2011 through 2021.
Fabulous. Well, thank you both very much, and let's jump straight into talking about the project. So, Maru, New Perimeter has been working on this collaboration for quite a while now, 17 years, I think. Can you please tell us what the impetus was for the project? What was the key issue that you wanted to tackle?
Well, let me tell you, there is a lot of different projects that we have handled with your support of DLA and New Perimeter. The first and more important one, and that has been both immediate and long-term impact, is we are, with your support, helping to build an ecosystem in Mexico where the pro bono legal service is recognized as and valued. Many law firms and in-house legal teams now have institutionalized their pro bono programs, and Appleseed leadership in this area in Mexico is due to the large part of your collaboration and your support of DLA and New Perimeter.
Mm-hmm. Amazing work. Thank you so much for that. And Lisa, on the DLA Piper side, you've been the key project lead since the start for this. When you started first working with Maru and Mexico Appleseed to design the collaboration, what were the initial goals that you set?
Our initial goals were what Maru had described, supporting and promoting and advancing culture of pro bono in Mexico, and also teaching about access to justice. I think, as many of us know, there is an access to justice crisis around the world where most people with legal needs, unfortunately, have nowhere to go in order to have those needs met. So our goal initially was to really teach the next generation of lawyers in Mexico about pro bono and access to justice, and to work closely with Mexico Appleseed in doing that. New Perimeter, as part of its model, has a commitment to long-term projects with the hope that making those long-term commitments will result in impact that's sustainable over time.
I totally agree with you on the long-term nature of the work required to bring about the sort of change that we're talking about here. Do you feel like we've achieved the goals that you had in mind at the very early stages of the project?
I do. When we first started working together, DLA Piper did not have an office in Mexico. And now we do. And our lawyers in Mexico are very much involved in pro bono work and also in collaboration with Appleseed Mexico and the universities where we've been teaching. I think the other way that you can see the impact is the generations of students who we taught, again, over 17 years ago that are practicing lawyers, whether it be in law firms, in-house departments, sometimes creating their own nonprofit organizations focused on issues in the public interest. We have seen that through the people who are working to promote access to justice in their communities.
I can remember when I started in Appleseed Mexico 20 years ago, and it was my goal to go to the law firms and start talking about pro bono. And at that time in Mexico, it was like, what is pro bono? In Mexico, the legal profession doesn't have the requirement to be part of a bar. So the pro bono practice was made in a more informal, in an altruistic way. So when we talk about the way to formalize and to institutionalize the practice, it was not that easy. And to have the support of Lisa, and I will always have to say that she really took my hand and showed me the way and let me know the way that is has to be done very formally, the practice of pro bono. So that make a huge difference for us. Now I can say that 20 years after, Appleseed Mexico built a pro bono network. We now have more than 70 members, mainly law firms and in-house departments. And it's amazing the difference.
You've been working with universities and with students and with law firms. How have those things changed over time?
In all the pro bono projects, you have to create alliances. That is the way that you can solve some problems. You have to bring to the project, to invite the key actors, the stakeholders of that kind of issue. So we have the privilege to build this long-term relationship like with the Universidad Panamericana, that now they are not only a host of our lecture, but also they are active ally in our initiatives. So, for instance, we are now co-leading with the DLA and New Perimeter the creation of the first legal disaster relief brigade. These kind of strong relationships are key to have success in the projects.
One of the things that's come through very strongly in our conversations is the importance of collaboration and working together to actually achieve the outcome. Were there any surprises or key lessons that you've learned from this collaboration outside of the importance of actually working together to bring about change?
When you have a close relationship with your collaborators and the alliance that you have built over time, you're able to do that in a way that is so much more effective than it would be otherwise. And I don't think you could ever underestimate the value of that over time. But the compassion that I have been able to witness from the lawyers in Mexico and the growth of pro bono, the commitment that people have to that, and the fact that lawyers at their heart and the legal profession, it really is a helping profession, and people really do want to help one another and to use their skills in the best way that they can to do that. And there really is nothing that I can think of that is more fulfilling than being able to walk alongside that, to witness it, and to play a small role in seeing that happen.
And Lisa, if you allow me, Claire, and I think that this is very important because all the people I think, and the lawyers as well, they are looking the way to help. And what is the best way to help that to offer your knowledge, to offer your experience for the common good? That is pro bono. With the support of DLA as part of this effort, we create with the Centro Mexicano Pro Bono and the Fundación Barra Mexicana and other clearinghouses in Mexico to promote the pro bono culture, we create a movement that is called the Mexico Pro Bono Standards to define what is pro bono for Mexico. And now we have more than 15 law firms being part of this movement with the clearinghouses. And I love that the way that we work is in a very collaborative way. You can see that we have created the guides for the earthquake in Mexico to 2017, the pandemic, and we create another guide for all the affected people for the Huracan Otis in Acapulco, Guerrero. And the amazing thing is that when we start working around this disaster or go to give the legal advice directly into the areas affected, we always do it with all this support of different law firms. So there is not a competition in pro bono. They are working together. They are helping us to create the guide. They are going with us to the areas.
We've teased the disaster brigade's work, but haven't properly delved into what that work is about. Could you please tell me some more about it?
Yes, sure. Well, since we start working around the natural disasters, we notice that the first stage of a natural disaster is the humanitarian help. But sometimes, and in Mexico as a society, we have shown that the Mexican people, we are very deep and show the solidarity. But when you face a natural disaster and the time goes on, sometimes the people forget, and is when the legal support is more needed. It's because you need to support these vulnerable people to stand up again, to reintegrate their lives. And sometimes it's not easy to find that kind of support. So with the support of the LA Piper and New Perimeter, we started a couple of years ago our research to learn and to know the best practices about legal aid organizations in the U.S. and with the partnership with the Universidad Panamericana and their legal clinic that is called in Spanish Buffet Jurídico Gratuito, we are now building the way that we are going to have a legal disaster relief brigade where the students and the lawyers from the university, they will be voluntarily part of this legal brigade to be on call. Because unfortunately, we know that we don't know where, we don't know when, but a natural disaster maybe will hit Mexico again in the future. So the idea is to have lawyers already trained and ready to go and give support in that area. And Lisa, I'm sure that you can say more about it.
As Madhu said, natural disasters are continuing to happen. And I think this is a good example of where New Perimeter hopefully can add value and to honor what's happening on the ground. I mean, it's part of our New Perimeter model where we can bring diverse perspectives and learn from others all around the world that are learning how to use the skills of lawyers to help people after natural disasters. So we're really excited about it. And I can't wait to see what this next year is going to bring in putting this together.
My final question for you both is, looking ahead, what are your hopes for the future of this collaboration?
I think that is very important to say that for nonprofit organizations as Opposite Mexico, to have the support of DLA and New Perimeter is a complete to make the difference. Because if we are talking to review or to work in a systemic project, to have your knowledge, to have your even the contacts for, I will have to say, to go and to try to implement the recommendation that we are trying to present, is completely different if a nonprofit organization goes by themselves. So having an international law firm of the reputation of DLA Pipers make a huge difference. And also, of course, I hope that we'll continue innovating together because we are now facing another way to improve the access to justice. And this is about the artificial intelligence, how we are going to make the changes around pro bono, talking about this new tool and how it's going to benefit the pro bono practice, how we are going to use technology to bring more knowledge, for instance, civil society organization for the compliance of their obligations.
I am constantly impressed by the impact that Mexico Appleseed is having. They are an amazing team with a few staff that do extraordinary things every day in Mexico and really serve as a model for nonprofits working to advance access to justice around the world. So I'm super excited about our continued collaboration.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us today and for sharing the amazing work that we've been doing together. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate your time. And it's been so wonderful to learn more about it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire.
I'm Sarah Andrews, co-director of New Perimeter, and I am very excited to now highlight our long-term collaboration focused on building the capacity of public sector lawyers in East Africa and beyond who are involved in negotiating agreements on behalf of their governments. Joining us to explore this initiative are Vivian Yeda and Jay Finkelstein, and I will turn it over to them to introduce themselves.
Hello, my name is Vivian Yeda. I'm the General Counsel and Director of Africa Finance Corporation.
Hello, I'm Jay Finkelstein. I have been a corporate transactional partner with DLA Piper for over 40 years, currently of counsel. And I also teach transactional law, negotiation skills, and contract drafting. I'm the member of the adjunct law faculties at Stanford, Berkeley, Georgetown, and Penn, where I have taught for over 20 years.
Thank you. So, Vivian, it would be wonderful if you could help kick off the conversation by taking us back to the beginning and tell us a little bit about how this collaboration started.
Thank you, Sarah. This collaboration started, I think, approximately 13 or 14 years ago, basically with the realization that as the global economies are growing and integrating, it was very necessary that lawyers, particularly those in developing countries, are kept abreast of developments in international law and international trade and commerce. And as a result of that conversation, we decided to start a program to work with lawyers in the public sector and generally bring them up to date with the latest developments in the law, but at the same time, take that opportunity to maybe fill in any gaps that could be identified.
And Vivian, I think a very important point is that the target group for this is those who are representing their governments in major international negotiations. But in legal preparation in most African countries, teaching negotiation skills is not part of the legal curriculum. So many of these lawyers representing their countries have not had formal training in negotiation skills and concepts.
Right. So around 13 years ago, we started teaming with you to provide regional trainings for lawyers from across East Africa on negotiating agreements, often related to natural resources. And Vivian, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about why this type of training was needed and is still needed.
Well, as Jay has said, negotiation and negotiation skills typically don't form part of the law curriculum in many law schools, those in Africa and even those beyond. And we realized that when negotiating or when working with the commercial team and investment practitioners, it's important for the lawyer, apart from the legal skills, to have the ability to navigate the complexity of commercial terms, commercial transactions, and to be able to knit that together into a legal document that makes sense but can also be implemented and protects the interests of the countries that they advise. So it became important to tailor-make a program because, as I said, this does not happen in regular law schools, tailor-make a program precisely to address this challenge.
And Jay, could you tell us a little bit about the training methodology that has been used for the trainings?
Yes, Sarah. We use, for this training, experiential and collaborative pedagogy. The best way to learn is to be immersed in a situation where you can learn skills and also apply them at the same time in order to embed them as something that you're comfortable working with. So we use an extended simulation module of an international transaction involving a major worldwide corporation wanting to invest in a developing African nation. And we assign the participants to represent one side or another. And they actually negotiate this transaction with coaching, with guidance, with substantive lectures to illustrate and inform them as to what they should be focusing on. And they get to learn the skills by applying the skills under the guidance of our training team.
And can you talk a little bit more about what the experiences have been having lawyers from multiple countries come together?
The program has been extraordinarily well received, and we normally have a very high level of engagement by the participants, raising questions, becoming immersed in the simulated negotiation and the parties that they are representing. They're building networking among themselves. One of the things we tell them is that their best resource in preparing for a negotiation is to seek the input of others who have had similar situations that they have been involved with. And those others might be either in another ministry within their government or might be a colleague in another country who has had a negotiation with the same or similar party.
And Vivian, can you expand upon that a little bit and talk about what you think the impact of the training has been over the course of more than a decade and over 500 government lawyers trained?
I think the turnout every year is evidence of the impact of the training to the countries that have been part of the program. Each year, we are able to get at least 10 lawyers from very busy state law offices that usually don't have enough resources, but they're able to plan and to release 10 or more of their staff to come and attend this seminar every year. I think that is one of the critical pointers to the success of the training. Similarly, post the training, we have seen engagement between the lawyers from different countries or lawyers asking for us to allow them to attend subsequent seminars in order to refresh their knowledge. If they attended a seminar 2 or 3 years ago, we still have lawyers asking for repeat sessions just to be able to catch up. And we also get a lot of support from the governments themselves in terms of the curriculum, what the areas of interest that they would like us to focus on. And we have a continuing dialogue before the training and also after the training. So that also speaks to the importance of the training and the impact it has had in shaping the resources of the member states.
Both during the trainings and also through the surveys that we obtain following the trainings, we have strong indications that this is addressing a need and that the participants are ratifying the importance of this training for them to better understand the process and their ability to shape agreements that will improve the outcomes for their countries. The participants are very much informing us as to the relevance of the training and how they value it. And as Vivian has said, the governments continually support sending lawyers that are in their ministries for this training. So we feel we're having a significant impact on advancing the abilities of the lawyers representing their countries to improve the outcomes and to obtain better contracts.
And a testament to that is the fact that the collaboration is continuing, and we have a training coming up where we'll be training lawyers from 11 different countries. And I'm wondering if you could both talk to the continuation of the collaboration and how it will evolve with our relationship with AFC.
So this year, we are very excited about the number of countries that we are going to work with And we've had a very positive response, even from countries that have not had the opportunity to attend the training, and also those that have been part of the program over the last 13 years or so. So because of this, it's quite obvious that the collaboration will continue. Probably we would enhance it or we would put in a different focus, but definitely there is a need. And as the world integrates more and there's need for lawyers to undertake more and more international-based transactions in furtherance of investment or trade, then obviously the gap still remains and the needs will still remain.
And as the training has evolved over the past 13 or 14 years, we have tailored the substantive matters that we discuss both to the evolving negotiation theory and practice, as well as to the requests from participants for us to add particular subjects to the training sessions. So we are spending more time now talking about the international loan agreement itself, which is the format that most of these international loans are structured around, and training them specifically on that document, even though that document is not one that we specifically negotiate in the training, we do spend substantive time working through it. We also focus on extractive industries, be it mining or oil and gas, and focus on the nuances of those contracts. And we have had the ability to use historical contracts in Africa to demonstrate how various provisions may have been ill-guided in the past or poorly drafted, and how they could be improved by some additional focus and thought process. And that is the process we're trying to leave the participants with, is the ability to think and apply the skills, having been taught a rational process for approaching and conducting negotiations.
And I would just add one additional thing about the value of the training is that it's wonderful that we're incorporating additional countries to participate in the training. The lawyers that DLA Piper brings together through New Perimeter also come from multiple jurisdictions. We've had folks from probably over 15 countries participate over the life of the project. And that really brings a rich discourse, particularly when you're talking about how cultural issues impact negotiations, because people are bringing a wealth of experience from different regions of the world. Well, thank you both, Vivian and Jay. We appreciate your time and are really excited to continue what has been a very long-running and successful collaboration. And we are excited to see what the coming years bring to continue our collaboration with you.
Very much looking forward to the upcoming training and to future trainings that we can work on collaboratively. Thank you, and thank you, Vivian, for making all of this possible by involving the African governments and lawyers.
And thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Jay, and New Perimeter for all the time that you've put into shaping the program and working with the seminar participants. And we are really looking forward not just to the training this year, but to future trainings as well.
Thank you for listening to DLA Piper's Beyond the Curve podcast. All information, content, and materials contained in this podcast are for general informational purposes only. This podcast is intended to be a general overview of the subjects discussed and does not create a lawyer-client relationship. Statements and opinions are those of the individual speakers and participants and do not necessarily reflect the policies or opinions of DLA Piper LLP US. The information contained in this podcast is not and should not be used as a substitute for legal advice. No listener should act or refrain from acting with respect to any particular legal matter on the basis of this podcast without first seeking legal advice from counsel in the relevant jurisdiction. This podcast may qualify as lawyer advertising, requiring notice in some jurisdictions. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome. DLA Piper LLP US accepts no responsibility for any actions taken or not taken as a result of this podcast.